Did you know free will is a creation of God? Now, you may never have thought of it that way. Might be a new way of thinking about it, but the ability to choose is an ability that God created. We possess that. In fact, there's very few things in all of creation that actually possess the ability to exercise free will. When you think about all the things that God has created, now I mean all things. I'm talking about earth, I'm talking about sun, moon, stars. I'm talking about trees and rocks and everything else you can imagine. Of all that God created, a very, very little bit of all of creation actually possess and were created with the ability to choose. That's amazing to think about. So the title of this lesson is The Day God Created Free Will. Now, this series of lessons that I've been taking us through on the life and teachings of Jesus is a chronological overview of Jesus' life through the Gospels in the Bible. And up to this point, we've been focused on the first chapter of John, and we've been really emphasizing the identity of Christ before creation. That's why there's so much to say. Before creation, before he came into this world. And we've also touched on a number of topics that are relevant to who Jesus is. And this lesson tonight is a related topic. Not specifically about Jesus, but a related topic. And I want us to remember, what is the context anyway for our lesson this evening? And so here are 14 main topics that I've already covered up to this point. Jesus is the Word of God. Jesus is the creator and beginning of all things. Jesus is not the creator of sin and suffering. He's the solution. Jesus is the light of humanity and the source of truth. It's nothing to hide. There's no reason to conceal. He is proud of his work. And he wants everyone to see the handiwork. In fact, we're commanded to proclaim the handiwork of God. He loves his work. And as he said every day on creation, it is good. Now, why would he want to hide that? Jesus is the only choice for truth and the best in your life. Jesus is the light that sets us free. Jesus enlightens us with truth. Light makes information possible, as I developed in that lesson. From information, we gain understanding and make decisions that are good for our lives. God uses light as a metaphor to compare the importance of knowledge gained from light with the importance of learning God's message. Jesus gives life with his light. And there is that association we saw in John. The life in Christ is shown by the light of Christ in us. And that's how others see that light of Christ. The truth shall set you free. And then a couple more topics we covered was Jesus is God manifested in the flesh. Jesus must be God or we are eternally doomed. Jesus' light is rejected by most. Jesus is the Savior of the world today and the Judge tomorrow. Jesus came with witnesses proclaiming his identity, and Jesus desires all to be saved. So these are topics that we've covered up to this point. That's the context of our message for this evening, which is related. And the reason why it's related is because in the previous lesson, I concluded with a question. Are you prepared to meet Jesus as your Savior? And I discussed the importance of choosing to believe in Christ. making the point that believing in Jesus Christ is a personal choice to believe in His love, in His promise, in who He is, and to believe that His will is the only will that is right for your life. It's a choice that each one of us has to make, whether we believe that Jesus is truly the way, the truth, and the life. It's a choice that God allows you to freely make. It's a free will choice. And that is how we ended up our lesson last time, and that's how we're beginning our lesson this evening. The day God created free will. Now, I emphasize that believing is a choice we must make. Believing is not a choice that God makes for us. That is something that we have to do. He desires, it's His desire and His will that we always make the right choices. He desires for us to choose life, to choose His Son, Christ, the light, the life, the truth. He desires for us to receive all of His blessings. His will is that we all be saved. But He's not going to force that decision on us. And He doesn't. And that's why so many reject Him. Because He does not force it on anyone. Rather, He's chosen to give us the choice, and that's His will, that we choose. Now, during creation, He already created all things that had no choice. The earth does exactly what God tells it to do. It does not possess free will. God created the laws that govern its behavior. Earth has no choice. It does not possess the ability to choose. Rocks never sin. They always do God's will. They have no free will. They have no conscience. They have no sense of morality. They're rocks, minerals, molecules. The trees have no free will to choose. Animals have no free will for morality. You can watch a dog and he'll make a choice between jumping over the fence or not jumping over the fence, to raid a trash can or not raid a trash can. They have a lot of choices that they make. Trees don't. But they have no sense of morality. There's no free will to choose that which is right or wrong. And my favorite topic, bacteria have no free will. They only do that which God designed them to do. It wasn't until the last day of creation that God created free will. And that's interesting. He called that creation Adam. This set mankind apart from all other things He had already created. And that's why I say, of all the multitude of things from one end of the universe to the other that God created, very, 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 very small part of that creation has the possession and ability to choose freely. Oh, that's really an interesting idea. This free will to choose also made mankind, humanity, accountable to choose truth or to choose the consequences, undesirable consequences. It's no secret that humanity chooses sin. That's what we do. And the consequences follow. Unfortunately, the rest of creation, the earth, the trees, the rocks, animals, bacteria, They all suffer because of the sin choices by humanity. Amen. But their suffering is temporary. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 8, verses 19 through 22, "For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God." That creature is the creation, the world, earth. "For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now." You see, all of creation suffers because of the choices, the free will choices humanity makes to sin. Their suffering in creation is due to the introduction of sin into creation, which causes disruption of God's original design for order and bliss, the way things could have been, which will eventually be restored and set back into motion and order in the new heaven and new earth, where there will be no sin. Creation will be restored when God restores his children. Unlike the children of God, creation will not be restored by choice, because it has no choice to sin. Creation does not possess the ability to choose, and so its restoration is beholden to the choices of humanity and of God. Now, some of you may have already had some thoughts going beyond humanity, huh? How many have thought of something else more than humanity? Well, to be more accurate about sin and creation, we have to include another group of free will beings. There are two distinguishable entities in creation with the ability to choose sin and to choose to do that which is contrary to the will of God. The first group consists of the angels. The second group consists of humanity. Now, let me point out that as I develop this lesson on angels, I want us to keep in mind the context of this lesson. We're talking about belief, which is a free will choice, with which both men and angels are capable of, and that's why we're on this subject right now. Though angels have a free will, as does humanity, the angels are different than humanity. Angels and humans are not the same. You can have angels who are humans in the sense that they are messengers, but they are not angels. But the angels, interestingly enough, began as did angels. Did I say that right? Or as did Adam. Angels began as angels, yeah. But they began as did Adam, in that they were created perfect in every way, just like Adam. Now consider what the Lord prophetically said in Ezekiel 28, verses 12 through 19 about Lucifer, who represents the creation of angels. He's now known as Satan. But here in Ezekiel 28, verse 12, it says, "Son of man, take up of lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God." That's how we know he's not talking about a physical prince of Tyrus in the world. "Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardius, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. You see, that tells us how the angels were created. Just like everyone else, just like everything else. Perfect in every way. And that's why I say the angels were created as was Adam. Perfect. And they had free will. Now Lucifer was the chief cherubim of the angels. And he began in perfection. But then he chose to sin. So Ezekiel chapter 28 and verse 16 through 19 explain his downfall. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore, I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. All they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou be any more. Lucifer was created just like all the angels, just like Adam, perfect in every way. But he was capable of being found sinful. That was not God's choice. God did not choose sin, did not force Satan to choose sin and iniquity. Rather, God rebuked it. Or did he rebuke himself? Did he chastise himself? Is he talking about judgment of himself for the choice he made? No, that's absurd. Rather, God is chastising and rebuking Satan for the sin he chose, free will choice. In contrast, humanity, other than Adam, is born into iniquity. We're born that way. King David wrote in Psalm 51:5, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." We begin in sin. We inherit a sin nature. And for very good reason, because we are Adam perpetuated. We're copies of Adam. That's who we are. The angels began in perfection, however, without sin, as did Adam. Adam was not born and shapen in iniquity. He was created perfect without sin until that day when iniquity was found in him, even as Satan. How'd that happen? Was that God's fault? No. That was because Adam, as the angels, possessed the ability to choose that which is contrary to the will of God. But this raises an interesting question, getting back into the title of the message, the day God created free will. When were the angels created? Well, the fact is, the Bible doesn't say when the angels were created. But he does tell us he created heaven and earth on day one. Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 5 say, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And divided the light from the darkness, and God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day." Now, I believe that God created the angel sometime during the first week of creation, one of the 6 days of creation. I believe this because of Exodus chapter 20, verse 11, which says, "For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it." Everything was made in 6 days of the first week of creation. So that's the basis for why I believe that. Now, day one is a reasonable choice, although I don't prefer that. But it's a reasonable choice for the moment angels were created due to creation, the creation of heaven. But this heaven is not the heaven of God's dwelling. Spiritual heaven is the dwelling of God. And God has been dwelling in spiritual heaven for how long? Well, how long has God been around? Forever. If God's been dwelling somewhere forever, where is the dwelling? When did the dwelling forever begin? It didn't. Because God has no beginning. And he dwells in heaven. So spiritual heaven is not what he's talking about being created. Spiritual heaven is the dwelling of God, which has been forever. In other words, spiritual heaven has no beginning. It didn't need to be created. It exists because God exists. Now, the angels and the mansions that are added to spiritual heaven were created and are created. Now, that's what Jesus said. I go to prepare you a place, right? Now, if spiritual heaven was not created, then Genesis 1:1 is speaking of physical creation. Now, some might wonder about Paul's reference to the third heaven in 2 Corinthians 12:2, where he says, "I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth. Such an one caught up to the third heaven." Third heaven, that means there must be a first and a second heaven as well. First heaven, second heaven, third heaven. According to Paul's statement, spiritual heaven is the third heaven. So he's not referring to spiritual heaven as the third creation in the order of things made. This is referring to it as being one of three heavens. There are two physical heavens and one spiritual heaven. Well, that sort of gives a good context of creation in our universe. In the beginning, God created heaven and earth. Heaven in Genesis 1:1 refers to the space surrounding earth. I mean, if there's an earth, there's got to be something around it, sitting in something. What is that? Space. The Bible calls it firmament. There was no atmosphere at that time. It was just a giant ball of water called earth with space all around it. And that space surrounding earth is called heaven. Now, on day two, God made the physical heavens as we know them now, by separating the waters of the earth with a firmament, the waters above from the waters below. Genesis chapter 1, verses 6 through 8 say, "And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. Well, what did he call that space? The firmament. Now, this heaven was divided into two parts. The first heaven is the atmosphere held to the surface of the earth by gravity, which supplies us with all the oxygen that the trees need and that we need. And that was the trees being created on day three. On day four, the second heaven we call outer space was filled with the sun, the moon, and the stars. Because he says he put them in the firmament. There's our two physical heavens right there as we understand them. That gives us two physical heavens and a third heaven. Now, I'm describing the creation of three heavens just to give us context for the creation of angels, because that's really what we're talking about. It's possible that they were created on day one because of the reference to the creation of heaven. And we associate angels with heaven. But as I pointed out, the problem is spiritual heaven didn't need to be created. Been around as long as God was. That means the angels are more associated with the third heaven than the physical heavens. So, is there another day that is better suited for the creation of the angels? What comes to mind? Well, as I began to ponder this idea, day six was a perfect fit. Day six is the day God created the free will agent named Adam. That was the day God created free will. And after having created everything on day 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, on day 6, there was something unique taking place. God created that which could choose to reject his will. That was the day God created free will. And it was a perfect time to create things, all things, including the angels, with free will. And that would be Adam and the angels with free will. Day six would be the day God created free will. It was free will day. Now, like I said when I began, the Bible doesn't tell us what day the angels were created. So what I'm doing here is I'm presenting a couple of ideas, day one, day six. Is there another day that's better suited for creation of angels? Now, some might be wondering whether God would create both the angels and man on the same day. I don't know about angels and man on the same day. Why not? He created all the land-dwelling animals on the same day as man. Why couldn't he create angels too? I mean, it's no big deal. For God, why could he not create the angels as well? It only took a moment to say, and let there be angels. I timed it. It only took me less than 3 seconds to say that. Let there be man. It doesn't take 24 hours to create man. He had plenty of time to create all the animals. He had more than enough time to create all the angels as well. So that's not a reason to reject that. And though Adam may have been created on the same day as angels, maybe, he was different. Though angels possess free will like man and appear in human form when they're seen, Adam was not an angel, according to Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9, which says, "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man." Jesus was made human, not angelic. Psalm chapter 8, verse 5 says, "For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels and hast crowned him with glory and honor." In other words, to be human is to be lower than the angels. Humans and angels are not the same thing. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 5 quotes Jesus saying, "Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, a sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared for me." What kind of body? That's a human body. He became human. He didn't become an angel. He became human. Now, some might be thinking Jesus is also called the angel of the Lord. Well, he's obviously an angel. And that would be true because angel means messenger. And Jesus was, who better than Jesus to be the messenger of God? Why not? He's not only the messenger of God, he is the message of God. He is the word of God. And so, of course, he's going to be the angel of the Lord in that sense. But he is not as the created angels. He is not an angel. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 4 says, "Being made so much better." How can you be made better than the angels if you're an angel? Well, that addresses some of the other denominations that equate him with angels. "Being made so much better than the angels, he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they." And Hebrews chapter 1, verses 7 through 8 say, "And of the angels he saith, who maketh his angels spirits, and his ministers a flame of fire? But unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom." Jesus is God. He's no angel. He's God. No wonder he's better than the angels. And 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 says, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh," that is human flesh, "justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory." Now, there's a couple more distinctions between that really separate Adam from the angels. And it's mentioned, we can start out in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, which is speaking of Adam's creation, because it says, "And the Lord God formed Adam of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." Adam was made with the dust of the earth. He's not an angel. He's physical as well as spiritual. And unlike the angels, Adam was made in version 1 and version 2, male and female. And he did that so that Adam could reproduce himself and make more Adam copies. And that's who we are. And this is why Genesis chapter 5, verse 2 says, "Male and female created he them, and blessed them, and called their name Adam, in the day when they were created." Because women are just the female version of Adam. They are Adam. We're all Adam. Designed to make copies of more Adams. Eve was made from Adam, which is rather interesting. Eve was not made from scratch. She was not created with a different DNA code. She was a product of Adam's original DNA code. God did not add anything new to Eve. Adam possessed the female gene. It's on the X chromosome. Eve received a subtracted version, where she received a double portion of X and the Y chromosome was removed. Nothing new. It was all the original Adam from which Eve was made. And so they were called Adam. And God just doubled up on that which he had already created, and it required no new creation whatsoever. Now, Matthew chapter 22, verse 30 says of the angels, "For in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven." Angels are not reproductive. There is not a male and female version of angels. They do not marry. And we're not going to be producing new Jesus Christ or first or second Adams in the new heavens, new earth. Why? Because there is no marriage. There is no female or male version. Just Adam and the angels. But angels do have a free will, and for that reason, they're included in the lesson this evening as we talk about belief and free will. So I leave you with this thought. Our sovereign God and creator, Jesus Christ, created free will along with all the other things he created. He created humanity with the ability to make the choice to believe him or not. To believe his way is the right way and the best way or not. And as our creator, we have to ask ourselves, do you think he might know what is best for you? Best for your life? The best way for you to think? The best way for you to live? Do you think his will might be the most important thing you ever discover and do? He's got the blueprints on life. He's got the blueprints on you. He knows what works best. And if you believe who he really is, you will believe. Amen.
We're glad you joined us for our services here at Mission Boulevard Baptist Church. If this program has helped you and you would like to have more information about trusting Christ as your Lord and Savior, or if you would like to have resources to help you in your spiritual walk and growth, please email us at the address on your screen. We look forward to having you join us again online, but you are always welcome to personally attend any of our services at the Mission Boulevard Baptist Church here in Fayetteville, Arkansas.
Hi, this is Dr. Patrick Briney. I hope and pray this important lesson has improved your life. For more life-changing lessons and to get your free book that I've written for you, visit my website at patrickbriney.com. And please share this valuable lesson with at least three of your friends to enrich their lives in our Lord Jesus Christ. I'll upload my next lesson for you soon. God bless.